Welcome to the podcast From Depression to Expression. I'm your host, Oliver Schirach. I have struggled for many years with low energy, self-worth, and depression, which have hindered me to truly live my life and express the beauty that is within me. To help myself, I started to learn a lot of things. After many years, I feel ready to share what I've learned with you. You're at the right place if you want to find out more about what is depression, what can cause it, and how to get out of it again. It's either for you or for someone you know. We will be going out into realms that are not yet accepted by mainstream. We will be talking about the effects of food on your emotions, being unaware of your emotions, shadow work, triggers, soul retrieval, awakening, dark night of the soul, near-death experiences, and much more. Some of those shows would be just me talking about things that are on my heart and what I learned lately. Other shows are with guests from around the world, which will share their knowledge with us and broaden our horizons. Those guests can be scientists, shamans, medicine men or women, therapists, personal coaches, and of course people that went through depression themselves and sharing their experience, what they learned by finding out who they are. Follow me on this journey to learn more about how to overcome depression. Learn to accept and love yourself truly, so we can embrace our authentic self unapologetically and start expressing who we are without fear, but with joy and lightness. Please remember to like and subscribe to never miss an episode, and share this episode with someone you know that needs to hear this information. So without any further ado, let's get into today's show. So now we are recording, and this is a new episode. And I'm sitting here with Rohit Delhi, happy as well. And it just popped the question, how do you feel today, Rohit? And welcome, by the way.
Thank you so much. So I'm feeling excited, you know. I'm going to share my journey being through depression. And I'm really excited to acknowledge, you know, someone who is listening to this talk. If they benefit, even they take even a single point or single aspect and imitate it in their life, it's like it's gonna be amazing. You know, my purpose of sharing, of being here with you, would be, you know, would be coinciding with that. Yeah, so I'm excited about it.
Yes, and me as well. I had so many great talks and so much work for me at the moment. But all the talks, I just wait for this team which can take the work afterwards so I can focus on these great talks I have. Right at the moment, I'm doing all myself still, but who knows? In the universe, God, the higher self, coincidences might bring me to people so I can focus more on such great talks. I've learned so much the last 4 or 5 days to with all these interesting talks. We also had a discussion a week ago, I think, a bit more. And we
A week back. In fact, last Sunday.
Yeah, was it Sunday?
Or Friday. Friday. It was Friday, Friday.
So we connected, and I'm excited because it's all about having this mix of teachers, authors, scientists, people which go through the experiences themselves. And you will share me your experience on depression and how to come out of it. So you're living in India and you have been depressed for a long period. So what is your story? I mean, what is depression for you? Let's start with what is depression for you, and how did it express in your life?
Okay, so depression for me has been the stress, the unhealthy stress. Stress is a natural response of our body, and the healthy stress is the one which our body is able to take care of it And that's required for us to push further, to push into our possibilities. But when this healthy stress goes beyond the level of being handled by body, and it's being accumulated inside body, you know, it start affecting our biology. So for me, this depression showed up as spondylitis. Me being a fitness freak, working every day for 1 hour, still I developed spondylitis, shoulders freezing and neck pain. And I had been doing everything, but I was doing physiotherapy. I was doing few yoga asanas, but this pain was not moving. And it has become, like, in 6 or 8 months, it became chronic in 2016, back in 2016. So that's where I started realizing the pain that this accumulating stress in my body in an unhealthy manner is coming into my life. And then I started observing it. I started going into it and I started addressing it.
Yeah. So yeah, for you, the depression basically manifested in physical pain and other illnesses. The disease you mentioned, we talked about it because I didn't know the word, but I've seen it in my ex-wife's father when he was getting really, really stressed. Mm-hmm. His hands turned, had started having spots of white all over, right? Yeah. So that's the disease you're talking about. So your pigmentation gets lost on parts of your body.
So Oliver, pigmentation thing is vitiligo. That also showed up to me, but that showed up a bit late, you know?
Later.
But okay. In the earlier stage of my depression, this spondylitis is basically exoskeleton pain in shoulders and neck. It is physical pain. And then I think within 6 or 7 or 8 months, I discovered this white spot also on my body, which is known as vitiligo. It is an autoimmune disease. And somewhere this stress, it was showing up, you know, like stress or depression is the deepest layer or deepest root cause of this vitiligo or this autoimmune disease. So basically, when I started going into my depression, I started addressing first the basic symptoms which were visible into my life. So it's like layers. You peel off one, then the other layer showed up, then next, then next, then next. So what I realized, depression has been the root cause of my autoimmune disease.
And also for the neck pain and like the skeleton pain you had.
Yes.
How did you, I mean, I know so many people. I mean, now since yesterday I have a headache. I think it's because I'm just putting a lot of load on me at the moment.
Yes.
I'm also started 4 or 5 weeks ago pendling for soul realignment and Akashic Records. And I got to a point where I need to put the things together, and it just collided with my podcast project because I planned it out that I have time in between. And I'm just so driven to do it. And so it is a certain stress and I need to address it in my way. How can I release that stress so I can be fully in flow again to finish this? Because there's enough time. I know there's enough time, but there's some kind of a stress belief underneath. But I can also see it outside in other people. You can see how stressed they are, right? You can see that from the outside, how they react, how they answer, how they move, how the body is. But themselves, they're like, no, I'm not stressed. I'm not depressed. What is wrong with you? I have serious health issues and the doctors need to find it. And they go from one doctor to the next, to the next, to the next. And the doctors say, everything is fine in your stomach. Everything is fine with your blood. Everything is fine everywhere. But they have all these different things. So what was it for you to realize, hey, depression, the unhealthy stress over long time is the root cause for these different autoimmune issues? And how did you find out?
Wow, that's an amazing question, Oliver. Have you heard about an author, Louise Hay?
Yeah. When you're in the self.
Yeah, she had written the book Heal Yourself, you know, love your life and heal yourself. And she's one of the pioneers, you know, in the work of self-love. And she had mastered this metaphysics. Okay. So metaphysicality is something, anything showing up in your body, it has got a spiritual reason for that, you know. It has got an emotional root cause. So once you will read this book, you know, Heal Your Life, from Louis Hay, in the around 70 to 80 pages in this book, towards the end, they gives you the emotional root cause of physical symptoms visible in your body, right? So I checked, like somewhere I was following Louis Hay since 2012. And these symptoms of stress started showing up in my life in 16 or 17. So I checked the spiritual reasons of having shoulder pain, neck pain, spondylitis. And I found all these things. You're taking lots of stress. You're taking lots of pressure. And then I realized, oh my God, the moment I stress myself, I immediately start having heavy shoulders. It starts showing up in my neck and all that.
Here, huh?
Yes, this neck and your shoulder joints. Okay. So that thing gave me a clue, but still I was not believing, you know. Somewhere we are in the world of science, you know, seeing is believing sort of thing, you know. It's popular in our culture.
Yeah, touching is believing. Only,
yes,
if, touching, if you can touch seeing, it, smell it, taste yeah. it, hear it, right?
Yes.
If you cannot, yes. then you're crazy, because yeah. why you hear voices, you see energies, you feel something, what's wrong with you? Let's give you a pill.
Yeah. So, you know, Oliver, that thing, that book of Lois, it helped me. And I was not believing it till the time I get hold of, I get my hand onto a book on emotional freedom technique. You know, there is a beautiful story behind that also. I will share it later. Once I read that book, I practiced EFT for hardly 20 minutes and 80% of my pain vanished. You know, 7-8 months old chronic pain in my shoulders, not going with regular workout, regular fitness workout regime, physiotherapy, but 20 minutes of tapping. And my pain came down from 10, like when I started. I assume that my pain is at 10 level. Okay. It came down to the level of 2 or 3 within 20 minutes. And that day I realized, oh my God, it's that energy. All that I have read in the book of Louis Hay, what she was talking, emotional reasons and all that. And in fact, around 98 to 99% stuff or diseases we have in our body, they do have emotional root cause. It only the genetic diseases, you know, which we get inherited from our past rest. Maximum all the diseases are coming from emotional root causes.
Yeah, or they're triggered. I mean, we say, yeah, but my family has heart issues. My family has cancer. My family has, yeah, but you're also taking on their lifestyle. And a lifestyle also means emotional handling, emotional intelligence, physical activity, food habits, sleeping habits. And I guess, you know, if you have a very healthy emotional family, I mean, I can see that my friends, which are successful, I've never seen them explode. I've never seen them wreck in very weird ways. They're very calm. You can see there's something happening in them. They process this, they are aware of what's going on, and they are responsible for their actions. And I can see how successful they are in life, in business, with friends, with family. So they come from a family which has taught them that. But if you come from a family with a lot of diseases, you will blame, oh, it's the DNA, right? And we know Bruce Lipton already in the 60s found out this is not the root cause. And he was fired from the university because he said, I cannot say the DNA is the root cause for diseases. It's how the environment affects the DNA, which is causing diseases. And the environment back then, he didn't realize it's also the emotions, it's the thoughts, it's It's everything, the spiritual aspects. And that comes in a package in the family you're born. So if the family, you're like, yes, my DNA, I'm going to have cancer when I'm 40. Yeah, if you think like that and you believe that, guess what? Between 40, 45, you might manifest a certain type of cancer instead of looking at it. So I love that. So we talked about EFT, I remember from our last talk. And actually, since we talked, I wanted to do more. I only did fast EFTs. I somehow have a hard time to get, I know it's like three circles in the minimum, right? Accepting. How are the circles? Accepting how you feel.
So first of all, you
acknowledge
what is there. Yeah. And from that acknowledgement, you accept. Okay. Yeah. And then from there, then you vision, then you you change the current programming.
Yeah. That is transform. Yes. Transfer it and release it, transfer it.
It is like positive reframing of, from where you started, the positive reframing of that.
Yeah. And how is it now? I mean, this is great. Let me stay a bit on EFT. Or do you want to go deeper in EFT later? Or should we look at it now?
As you feel comfortable, Oliver, I will go with you.
Okay. Let's go there with the EFT. So okay. We acknowledge, we accept, and then we transfer the energy or release it, right? So it's like, it's okay to feel stressed at the moment. And then you go through different tapping points. These are Chinese acupuncture points, I think, or Ayurvedic points. I mean, there's always this discuss who was first. And
actually,
you also use affirmations, or can you just tap? Do you need to use affirmations, or can you just tap through the points?
Okay. As far as I am aware, EFT tapping, it is emotional freedom technique. And basically, in today's lifestyle, we stuff in so much, like we suppress our emotions so much because so many bullshit rules are floating in the society. Don't do it in this way. You should do it like this. You should not. Oh my God, rules are being broken. There are so many limitations. There are so many programmings. Okay. So under these programmings, the organic inner self, the organic Rohit, organic me is lost somewhere. Okay. And this organic flavor of me is suppressed every time it's showing up in the garb of these bullshit rules. So the tapping EFT does, the very first thing is acknowledge where is that suppression. For example, I was having pain in my shoulder. So I start with tapping. Okay. I'm having lots of pain in my shoulder and I'm feeling very bad. Oh my God. I'm feeling lost in my life. Still, I choose to love and accept myself. I forgive myself. I welcome as I am right here, right now. So, Oliver, the first situation or the first condition or like the first effort is unconditional love and acceptance to whatever is here. And believe you me, the moment you have this unconditional love and acceptance, healing or miracle gonna happen there. Okay. So, and basically, while we are acknowledging this pain and these things which are present right now, we tap onto these 7 points on our body. They are like, energy centers, energy nodes. So, emotion is what? E-motion. That is energy in motion, So, these energy nodes in our body, when energy gets stuck up over there, it turns out into pain, right? But once, like for example, if I am tapping onto my, onto my hand, on the karate chop point right here. So I am giving kinetic energy to this point. Kinetic energy. I am striking it. So I am giving energy. So this energy will get the blockages moving. So that blockage will move to other place. Okay. And then I tap there, like here. Then I tap here, here, here. Hey, so these tappings, they keep on clearing the energy nodes, and that blockage, that energy which was blocked, stuck up, that was rotting, that was creating pain, it's free. It's rotating now. It's having life now, you know? So emotion means energy in motion. And when that energy in motion comes, that emotion completes its cycle. It doesn't stuck up. It doesn't lead to pain or something. So tapping helps you in moving that stuck up, stuffed in, suppressed emotions inside. It clears all the energetic route paths, you know, pathways, whatever it is. And then automatically you release that energy and then you feel better.
Wow. So there's several points, because I did on Mindvalley. I didn't know that you were on Mindvalley as well until I saw you on a call.
Okay.
They have EFT. I mean, they added so many great
things. I have done that. I have done that quest. I have completed that quest. Yeah.
So they have EFT, and this emotional frequency technique came into my awareness in 2019, January, because I took a conscious coaching. And she said, she feels like, because I'm very active, that will help me. And I knew in 2019, there was already an app available from these guys, which started it. And they had a lot of good experiences on post-traumatic stress veterans, especially military veterans.
Yes.
They could actually measure that scientifically. So I do not want to go into depth. So you can find EFT tapping or emotional frequency freedom tapping. I think that the name comes from certain Americans which started it. And then you have, you know, the tapping from the Mindvalley quest, which is also awesome.
Jennifer Partridge.
From who?
Jennifer Partridge.
Jennifer Partridge. Right. Her energy, you know, you said unconditional love is the start. Yes. And she talks about her path. Who knows if I can get to talk to her? Perhaps I can go deeper into EFT, how it helps you, right? And get her to talk on my podcast. I would love that. And honestly, because her story is amazing. So, but your story is not less amazing. So what I want to know from you, and now that we have you here, how does it feel like when, you know, you say, okay, I'm tapping. For me, the energy was released by yawning. The same when I do somatic breath, the same when I do Wim Hof breath work, I start yawning like crazy. And I'm like, Jesus, I'm not supposed to fall asleep. I'm supposed to get energy, but I'm getting really tired. So, but I know from many of these teachers, this is also a release. How did you feel when you're tapping, right? So you go these, you can go many, many rounds, right? But the basic rounds are three, as you said, the acknowledge, accept, and transfer. So you just go once for acknowledgement, once for acceptance, and once for release through the body. But you can do it longer. You can do it 10 minutes, 20 minutes.
Yes.
Keep continuing. And there's different ways where you tap. You tap on your hands, you tap on your chest. But how did it feel for you to release these energies which were stuck? Did you feel some tingling? Did you feel lighter, warmth? What happened in your body, in your experience?
So, Oliver, for me, again, yawning is the main thing. And when I was doing tapping before this thing, before Mindvalley, I have done basic training in EFT also. So there, the trainer told us, you know, yawning is release of energy. It's release of stuck up energy, you know. It's like body will have some aggravate, like I myself have felt. Like I'm having pain in my lower back and I'm tapping on pain in my lower back. Suddenly the pain will aggravate to that level as if 50 or 60 kg of, you know, mass or weight is hanging onto my back. And I am crying, oh my God, it's so heavy. I'm having so much of pain. And the moment I accept that heaviness, it evaporates. It's like I'm into source, you know. It's like the moment I acknowledge that heaviness, that pain, it's like I'm free from that. And from that escalate, like I started from a normal pain. I started tapping onto it. Energy started shifting, moving. And to a point, lots of stuck up energy showed up as lots of pain. And the moment I accept that lots of pain, I didn't get scared of it. You know, oh my God, I was getting scared. But the trainer next to me, she told, okay, Rohit, no, allow it. It's good. Energy is moving. And the moment, Oliver, I allowed it. Oh my God. That was one of the biggest ever relief I have ever felt in my life. I'm so calm, so relaxed. Like so much of pain of many years or many lifetimes has been released in one single 2 hours of session. So it's very powerful. It's very powerful.
So you felt all that pain and was heavy and then accepting. Allow the pain, like accept the pain, allow the pain. I mean, there's different words, different vocabulary, which people can accept. I mean, how did, so was it just like you feel the heaviness and then just like woof, suddenly it was gone? It was just...
I got your point. So basically, you know, that pain is connected to some emotional stuck up point. And this emotional stuck up point is connected to some story in childhood or in some past life. Okay. Now the trainer is guiding me, you know, is clearing all the emotional blocks that has been made during that memory or that childhood memory that is showing up here. For example, in this pain, what I am talking about, my lower back pain, I saw my mother, you know, I'm inside her womb and she's having lots of, you know, trauma, trouble inside. She's feeling burdened. She's feeling helpless. She's feeling not loved and all that, you know. So it's all energetic work. And I was guided by a EFT practitioner. And it's a process in itself. Somewhere they will take you to the emotional root cause of that physical symptom. And then they will tap on that emotional root cause of this physical symptom. So in my case, it was my childhood memory or, you know, something coming up from my mother's womb. So it's lots of energy work and it's quite a long process. Yeah.
So now, so what happened? I mean, I know that when doing this quest, which is 28 days, I think, or 30 days, she says, write down whatever comes up. So you said you had an EFT partition. That means you were on a Zoom call or in person with someone and then you were tapping or...
It was a physical, offline session. The practitioner was present with me and she was guiding me, you know, like she was saying, okay, Rohit. Yes, I was repeating after her. She was guiding me, you know, Jennifer Partridge offers a version of EFT that is very, very streamlined. Okay. Yeah. And it's common for all. But if you have got any issue in your life right now, there are practitioners who can pinpoint, who can customize our EFT session for your problem. And it's very effective. It's very effective.
Okay. So you followed her and then did you get this memory of being in your mother's womb? Did that just come up while you were tapping and you were looking?
It didn't come up. No, Oliver. You know, I was starting getting acquainted with this energy thing, with this inner me. Before coming in connection with the EFT, I have never known the inner me. Okay. I was not even aware about, you know, what is inner self, that I need to love this inner child inside me. I was a total stranger to it. So my inner self was not ready to show up. You know, I'm trying to tap, but things were not revealing to me. They were not comfortable showing their true colors or showing their true version to me because I have been suppressing them. I have been stuffing them for so long. By now they have been hiding and they have been. So when the practitioner guides me, the practitioner says, you know, there are few feelings which have been suppressed. They are shy. Okay. They are hiding. They are not comfortable being visible. Okay. So today we will give permission to these feelings to show up and speak up. So it's a beautifully scripted process in itself. We allow our inner suppressed emotions to show up, and whatever emotion is the strongest, whatever emotion as per our comfort with our inner self, like, is this the right stage for a particular kind of symptom to show up in my life? Am I ready for that? accordingly, that symptom will show up. We will work on that. We will address that layer and we will peel off that layer in this session. And that's that way that work keeps on progressing. You know, there are multiple layers. You peel off one layer, then one more. So it is a work in continuation, you know?
Yeah, it's, I cannot help it. Thinking of Shrek, do you know the movie Shrek? When he says ogres are like onions. And then the donkey character, Eddie Murphy, basically says, oh, you're smelly and have hair on your skin. And like, no, we are full of layers, right?
Yes.
You can peel one layer after the other. So I'm not saying we are ogres, but we all have these layers, right? And we are...
Yes.
How is this... What happened to you when you realized, I mean, you said before EFT, you were not aware of your inner self because you were suppressing all the inner Rohit, the happy Rohit, right? And now you were guided through this, with this partitioner, like giving you the space to open up, giving you the space to let these emotions come up. And then with that, suddenly emotions come. So how did it feel? What did happen in your emotional body, in your spiritual body, in your physical body? In your awareness, what happened with you as a person?
So Oliver, you know, before coming into connection with EFT, I have been reading lots of books, watching lots of videos, and I was into, you know, like this self-help content, you know, subconscious mind powers, belief system, self-love, all that. I was into theory. Practice was way ahead. Like, I was not even aware what is practice of these things. I used to think that if I have read a book, it means I have done a good job and it's going to change my life. But I was wrong, you know. Theory doesn't solve. You know, knowledge is part of it. Awareness is part of it. But till the time you don't execute it, you're not going to reap the benefits. So when I come into connection with the tapping, all that wisdom that I was talking about, I was reading, it all started being executed, you know, like during tapping session, we literally tap and we talk to ourselves. I literally love you as you are. I accept you as you are. So the moment I started with tapping, the acceptance for my inner self started coming up. I was not aware about the impact at that time. But when I'm speaking to you, I realize, you know, like, oh my God, that literal sessions. And, you know, like I used to do 2 or 3 sessions in a month or so, something like that. It literally made my inner self comfortable with my consciousness, with my awareness in the moment. And then again, it is a process, you know, in continuation. That time, my relationship with my inner self was beginning to nurture itself, was beginning to reveal itself. The more I allowed it to be itself, the more it started showing up. The more I accept its mistakes, the more it's, you know, it started giving its intuitive signals to me. Okay, so it was like if I am taking one step, my inner self is taking 2 steps. And that work is in continuation and it is still going and growing and growing every day. And today, I feel, you know, like, oh my God, I can't do anything which is not in alignment with my inner self. So it is like it has taken me for 17. I started this tapping and it started befriending my inner self. And today I'm still learning to befriend its my inner self. It's still so many dark sides, dark shades are showing up. I'm working on them. And I know I'm going to work till the day I say goodbye to this world. But it's an amazing journey, you know, Oliver. I feel content that, yes, I am doing something in now, you know, I'm doing something for my inner self. I have ignored it for past 28, 29 years, but not now. I'm doing my best for it now.
Yeah. So that's awesome. This, let's see if I can put that in the intro or as a short outtake. This is so important what you just said now, you know, I mean, I'm reading a lot, I'm listening a lot, and I try to apply. Right. I do the EFT, I do the Wim Hof. It's 2 years ago, actually. It was before the corona. We did an actual Wim Hof class. And I went a few times here in the fjord alone, but with my daughter, which caused me then to have problems with my hands, right? I started having white fingers. And this is also an autoimmune issue. You cannot heal. But I had an interview on the Oliver Shearer show with a guy who healed himself from a full body disease like that, where he got completely white on the full body. 1 year of doing Wim Hof continuously, right? Go in the ice bath, taking ice showers, do the breath work, do the meditation. He doesn't have the issue anymore. His body does not have cold limbs anymore. Right? It's like you say, right? He did the physical work. Yet, I know for me, it's also this struggle. I had just a chat with a friend of mine from Switzerland yesterday. In the evening, she shared about, I'm one step before I get the black belt on whatever karate she's doing. Don't ask me. There's just different levels of karate. I'm like, wow. When I was 19, I started Vo Vietnam, a Vietnamese martial arts. And I felt so imbalanced. What happened? I came to Denmark and I started working out more, right? But this moving, martial arts moving and breath work and defense, attack, I didn't do anymore. But it was a part of me, right? So that's also like embody these things. And for the last 10 years, this emotional awakening came more and more. What work are you doing? Why are you doing this work? No one is appreciating you. Why do you feel no one is appreciating you? And all these things, right? And wow. I see it's like really to get away from this absorbing YouTube's podcasts, books, quests into actually embody it and apply it and get into this physical, right? And so that's what you're saying is really like a reminder, not only for me, but for many people. Find someone you can work with. If you do not have
Add one more thing here, Oliver. Just want to add one more thing. This puzzle of accumulating, you know, like more quest, more work on myself, more hard work. It was unending race. You know, it was some void within. So I read a post, you know, from Warren Buffett. So he talks about it, you know, you write down 25 things that are most important in your life. Okay. Now, out of these 25 things, now choose the 5 things that take the topmost priority out of these 25 things of your life. Now he says these 5 things are what you should be doing, and don't focus on these 5 things. Focus on that. The balanced 20 things are not distracting you from doing these 5 things till the time you achieve these 5 things. And believe you me, Oliver, since that day, I dropped doing 4-5 quests on Mindvalley. I dropped doing everything. I have had these 5 points. And you know what is the point number 1 in my list?
No.
Taking action on what I already know. And believe you me, brother, it has made my life so simple. I'm loving, you know, being alive with my wife, my daughter, and I'm feeling so light. And it's like my life is not required to be, you know, work hard. No. I'm focusing these 5 and I am defending my 4 from balance 20. These 5 are gonna come first. Once I complete them, then rest 20, I will think about it.
They might change into another 20.
They might change, yeah. They might change next month. But for now, I am aware that I am doing the topmost 5 things of my life.
Yeah, it's like learn to focus. Bliss discipline, yes. As Michael Beckwith says, the discipline of having a bliss. And I think being in bliss means so many spiritual personal teachers. I do not know what Tony Robbins says anyway. I think for me, Tony Robbins was one of the... No, Tim Ferriss was the first one. and through him, Tony Robbins. Is like, do more of the things you love. And I realize I'm actually... Sorry for the noise today. There's a little bit more noisy cars passing my place. But, you know, doing more of the things you love, I'm like, I'm holding myself from doing the things I love because of whatever beliefs. Or am I actually believing that the things I want to do are the things I love? And, you know, then you get up in the head and you're like, oh, my God. And before you know it, you have no energy. And then you have no energy, and then 2-3 hours are gone, and you're like, shit, I had 2-3 hours to do something. I could just have had half an hour. Instead of 3 hours of doing nothing, I could have just sit down and look at the sunset or the sunrise or the cars passing out of the window. That would have been doing something like being present in the moment, which gives you more energy. So it's really like getting out of the head sometimes means, or Tony Robbins, that one is good. He's like, when you get up in the morning or when you get stuck, I like that one. That's definitely from a lot of different sources he takes. Change your physical being. If you get stuck in your mind, in your whatever you do, you sit in front of the computer, you write the book, you write the post, you talk to someone as a podcast or whatever it is, or you're walking and you start feeling bad, you start feeling stuck. Do physically something different. Like if you're sitting, stand up and do squats, to walk up and down the staircase, shake, do qigong, do whatever it is, scream, do a breathwork. If you're walking, you start feeling bad, perhaps sit down, right? Change your physical activity if you get stuck in your mind and your energy. That's something I remember Tony Robbins saying. Is that something that resonates with you?
Yes, very well. You know, it's like thought, intent, and action are in, you know, like I'm doing my workout early morning and I believe in one thing. When I'm doing something, my thought, intent, and action has to be in alignment. Okay. Now I'm doing my workout and I am feeling this resistance, you know, it's coming out of blue, out of nowhere. And I'm like, oh my God, what the hell? My thoughts are in support of me. My intent is in support of me. My action, you know, this workout is gonna bring health to me, joy, fun, release of oxytocin into my body, happiness hormones, chemicals, and all that coming into my body. Why am I resisting? And the moment I connect with that resistance, Oliver, I connected with one of my childhood memories where my father is waking me up early morning and he's pushing me. You better run. Otherwise, I will beat you. I will thrash you. And that fear, that pain is still energetically arriving in me and creating that resistance. So that day, I worked with that aspect of my childhood. I worked with that inner child. I allowed that child, you know, to feel that fear of his father. Oh my God, I need to run. If I will not run, then he will beat me. Oh my God. I comforted my inner child. I say, it's okay, my dear. It's okay. You are safe. And now when I'm doing my physical workouts, it's lots of ease around doing physical workouts. Okay. That automatic programming of my childhood showed up 3 or 4 more times, but I was having awareness this time. I was having acceptance for that childhood version of me and I embraced it. I welcomed it. I didn't react to it. I allow it to integrate.
Oh my God. That's so deep. My question is, okay, that's great. You go there. You have really a very nice example here, right? Your thought, your intention, and your action has to be aligned. Now you go working out, you know, this is good for my body. You know, you feel good afterwards. At least me, when I have a good exercise, I feel like refreshed. Yes, I feel probably down, but this is kind of like a physical, like, okay, now you used up your resources, right? Your physical resources. And if you have a really nice gym, you might be able to make a sauna or a bath, or you just have a shower. And if you have a really cheap gym, you go showering at home, or you go in the or you go in the lake next to the gym.
Yeah.
But then you just feel like this inner peace, right? And now you have this resistance, as you say, and you're like, ask yourself, okay, my thought is like, I'm going to do that. And I have been doing that every day for the last, whatever, 2-3 months. My intent is also there, but there's a resistance. And then this thought comes up. Are you then just sitting with the thought, or are you tapping through it? Or
yeah. So Oliver, you know, whenever the pain or the thing comes into my life and it's overwhelming and nothing is helping me, I prefer sitting down with that emotion. I prefer sitting down with that resistance. So that day, I just sit with it. I said, okay, you are here. When everything is in alignment, then what is that part of me which is avoiding it? You know, which I might be missing out or which I might be roughing against. And then the moment I have that acceptance and suddenly some thought comes, a picture of my childhood that showed up, you know, my father is waking me up. I am 6 years old and it's winter and he's saying, you better get up. You are sleeping still now. You get to run and all that. You will become Shago. You will become Shammer or something like that. And then I allowed that memory to show up further. Okay. So like there are two ways of doing it. Either you sit down with that resistance and do journal, okay? Or you can go 6-level deep why. Or if you are already into allowing your inner self to speak with you, you're gonna fine-tune this action, you know, just by sitting with your emotions, talking to them, allowing them to show up, being present to those feelings, those pictures which are showing up, trusting them and allowing them to show up completely.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Right. Because I was thinking, because you talked about the tapping and I'm like, okay, so what are you doing? And of course I can see a lot of times I just push through and then like, now I'm doing it. So I'm not accepting in that moment or respect the inner child mostly to speak up. And by that I'm suppressing it. So when I say, come on, inner child, now I have time to talk to you, it will be like, yeah, but you suppressed me the other 3, 4, 5 times. Am I really safe to show up? And then you probably only get a glimpse of it. So that's kind of like the intuition, as people say, or the insight or the vision. Have you realized if there's other practices which actually can help you to bring it up to you? Like, I don't know, special food or fasting or meditation or whatever. Is there something else besides EFT or just being aware when it comes?
Oliver, when I started, you know, my EFT tapping, I was a mindy person, you know, mindy, overthinking. Okay. Lots of thinking. Oh, this is happening. Oh my God. Oh my God. I was always in my mind. Okay. Now this journey is from mind to body. Okay. So like I'm moving from my mind to my heart. And, you know, like our mind gets the things at the first, you know, like whatever is happening outside, consciousness, awareness, we get the feedbacks. So mind is able to believe at the first. Then comes our spirituality or our, you know, subconscious. And our body is the last to believe that transition or that transformation. So basically, I started as a mindy person, very scared, very judgmental, very comparing. Like I will compare myself to everyone. I will catastrophize. I will be like, it was extreme fear, extreme safety. Okay. And my dear, you know, I'm brutally honest in expressing it. There is no shortcut in this journey or in this tour from your mind to your body. You got to practice. And practice doesn't need, you know, some additional 1 hour of burden onto your daily routine. No, it just need your desire to be friendly with your inner self. Whenever some fear or some pain showed up, you might be reacting to it, you know, in the first go. It's okay. You can journal. You can say, okay, I got scared. I pushed you when I got scared. You know, I pushed my inner self. You talk to yourself. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Second time, again, try. You fail. Again, get up. You know, you will try to be friendly with your inner self, with your heart. You're going to falter multiple times. But every time, get up and try again. Because everyone's journey is different. You know, you don't even know where that friendliness or that, you know, that ice will start melting. You don't know. Okay. It's something like I'm driving on a road and it's heavy showers, you know, heavy rain is coming. The wiper is working continuously. You know, it is making the drive easy. It is not stopping till the time rain is stopping. The moment rain stops, the wiper stops. So same way we keep on working our work, because it was my choice to move from my mind to my heart, to move from you know, knowledge to my intuition, to my inner awareness, to my inner light. So I trusted that, and I do everything and anything that showed up. There was multiple things. I can't even list them out here. But only thing that I can say is, you know where you're going. Keep falling, keep getting up. Keep falling, keep getting up. And Oliver, believe you me, you won't even know when you have reached. You won't even know you have when you have reached. You know, like I was fed up. I was fed up with myself. Why am I accumulating information? Why? But I was having acceptance. Okay, I'm gonna do it now. I still love you. You didn't act on the wisdom. I still love you, Rohit. And you know, today, Oliver, I do have these 5 points. And I don't feel like accumulating wisdom, you know. I don't feel like someone is talking. Someone pays me, Rohit, you take this money and watch this expensive course from this author or this life coach. No, my inner self is not ready now. You know, like I have so much and I love applying that now. So my puzzle of not taking action on my wisdom is now looking like being solved. I don't know. It's still in process. But for sure, every time I fall down, I got up again. Fall down, got up again. And with love and compassion to myself.
This is great. Let me ask, I had for the new podcast, I had some discussion and the questions we ask ourselves, like the why question, how dangerous it can be to ask a why question, right? So like, why I'm not doing this? And when, what is your experience with how do you ask yourself to actually find answers to grow and heal? Is it also the what question and how? Or did you have good experience with the why? Because I also know the why question is a lot for me personally. Like, why did you not do that? You knew you should do it. Why didn't you get there? Then you get all these, oh, you're not good enough. You don't have energy. You're just procrastinating. And these are not really helpful answers. They're just the negative answers. So what are the questions you ask yourself?
So, Oliver, for me, how has been a great cause of anxiety. So how has been a great source of anxiety. The moment I stopped going into how, I was able to be better off, you know. Somewhere the moment you start asking how and you trust yourself, you know, and you work, you do your homework and you go ahead with trust on your homework, things gonna show up. So how was a pain in my life till 2019 or so? The moment I realized how is the source of my anxiety, I stopped allowing how in my life. Then why, you know, the power of why, a book from, I think Simon Sinek.
Could be.
Yeah, I'm not very sure about the name of the author. So somewhere I believe in this why, you know, like why has been a tool for me to connect to my inner self. So whenever I use the question, why, like I'm having lots of pain in my life, you know, like same circumstances showing up. I'm having consistent fights with my wife. I'm having consistent anxiety and depressed states coming up, showing up in the same way in my life for past 1 month. What the hell? I'm fed up. Then I will just go, okay, why am I feeling depressed and stuck up when I am communicating to this person? Now I am writing the question and I am answering to this question. Whatever answer comes out, I will draw another question, another why from this answer. Okay, like I say, I don't like his company. Then another why of mine would be, why don't you like his company? Then I say, the way he mistreat me, it upsets me. Why does his mistreatment upsets you? Then, oh, because I have had it in my past, so and so used to do it. Okay, why in the past so-and-so was doing it and you were allowing it? Oh my God, I was not aware at that time. Okay, why were you not aware about at that time? Because I don't know. So I go 7 level deep into why. And it helped me in connecting with my inner self, you know. Somewhere the mind talk, the mind's logic is cut out when I go 7 level deep. And my inner self, my inner awareness reveals itself. So it helps me in knowing myself better. And when I am aware why this thing is triggering, next time I am well prepared for the situation that has been triggering me for past 30 days. Now I do have my answers. Now I draw the healthy boundary there. Okay, he is not my kind of person. I will not connect with him. Okay, I draw this boundary. Okay, and even if I interact with him, I convey it very clearly. My dear, this way of yours literally triggers me and it makes me feel disrespected. So why has helped me in those ways? And when I talk about what? So what is something which I haven't gone into in a very detailed manner, but somewhere, you know, my own life circumstances, my own intuitions, my own desires, it all accumulates and it gives me my what. Mm-hmm. I don't have, a structure around it, but my circumstances, my pain, my strength, it all comes together and it keeps on giving me, you know, what in my life I'm looking for.
Beautiful. So I can see you use the why question as a constructive feedback. Yes. Because it can very fast go into, you know, negative. And I can see that, avoiding the why question can be very important for some people. So you're not beating yourself up. Right. So don't go and say like, why? Because I'm stupid. Because I'm.
Yes. So you know, Oliver, this depression and this stress, it has got all to do with this mind thing. Now, mind is filled with fear. And, you know, fear is basically lack of awareness. So like darkness is nothing. Darkness is absence of light. So fear is nothing but, you know, absence of your own sense of security, your own sense of awareness, who you are. Awareness about your own light is the darkness, you know. So somewhere what I realize, this stress, this depression, it has got a lot to do with lack of self-awareness. The more self-aware you are, the better you are equipped, you know, to take head on with the depression, with these levels. You know, they are just levels. They are not the permanent representation of our reality. Okay. So somewhere these 7-level deep why, my journaling, tapping sessions, life coaching sessions, they all allowed me to be more aware about myself, to be more loving and friendly to my inner self. And somewhere the ice started melting thereafter, you know, and things started building upon that, things started showing up and further building upon it, a process in continuation. But for this, that initial shift, the self-awareness is really important.
Yeah.
To start somewhere.
Yeah, the self-awareness.
Yeah.
Let's continue there. So, question around self-love, self-acceptance, self-awareness. What do you think is needed to get there? I mean, we probably have already touched on it today.
Yes, yes. Again, Oliver, it is the same thing, you know. Every time you're not able to accept yourself, try to accept yourself in that circumstance when it shows up again in your life. Okay? Like, every time you fall down, don't take it as the end. You know, I was, very recently, I discovered that I'm feeling lots of stress while working in my office. And I realized there was a programming that, you know, whenever work comes, I am going to be jittery. Oh my God, it's lots of pain. It's very difficult and all that. It was all the organizational beliefs which were governing, you know, my stress levels. Now I was trying to work on that and I was failing in that. But then I accept my failure there. Okay, I accept you failing in this. I will try again. Let me see. Okay. I again show compassion to myself. So, show acceptance to that failure. You know, like I need to work on this. Still, I'm not able to work on this. Oh my God, I'm a failure. But no, I'm not a failure. I'm doing my best. I do have my limitations. And I'm gone small. And, you know, Oliver, with consistent awareness and consistent desire or consistent intent to work on this aspect, within 30 or 20 days, the issue has become a non-issue. Just by mere awareness, mere small actions, mere allowing or mere acceptance has done the miracle, you know. You know, so taking action is not something something out of the world. Allowing, accepting, you know, being compassionate when you fall down, or being compassionate, you know, when you criticize yourself. Don't criticize yourself, you know, like all those things around self-love. No complain. And, you know, there are two or three things which Louis Hay says. I don't recall them very clearly. But somewhere, the action that I want to take on my depression thing, I keep on accepting my falling and I keep on trying. That in itself is the process. That in itself is the route to reach where I want to reach. There is no shortcut to it.
Yeah.
But then we term it procrastination, whatever it is. Something I feel like, you know, allowing and accepting shows lots of results, you know, lots of miracles.
So by accepting yourself for all the fallings, the failings, and not, you know, don't complain about it, don't beat yourself up, will bring you closer to self-love and self-awareness.
Your inner self.
Yeah, your inner self. Yeah. And, you know, the podcast is called Depression, From Depression to Expression.
Expression, yes.
Yeah. So what is self-expression? I mean, now, can you self-express without loving yourself?
So about expression, I will just, you know, share one of my aspects. I used to be scared so much. Like my father, you know, in my childhood, my parents used to say, okay, you don't do this, so many rules. And even if I utter a single word, lots of repercussions from my father used to come. So somewhere, I was just speaking to appease others. So in my expression, my speaking or my communication was all about speaking and not listening. So once I embrace this fear, or, you know, like, how should I say, you know, I want to speak only. I want to speak. I don't want to listen. So when I'm not listening to you, Oliver, and I am talking to you, communication is not taking place. It is monologue. Okay. Same thing happens with ourselves. If I only want to speak, then I don't allow my inner self to speak, and I don't allow myself to listen to my inner self. So expression is basically, you know, it is the external, if I'm not listening to my inner self, why, and I'm not speaking to it, I'm not listening to it, I'm doing monologue, I'm only speaking, expression will never come. The moment I allow listening to my inner self, and in connection with that, I'm speaking to you or to anyone, that connection comes and that expression flows, or, you know, things gets communicated. So somewhere I am missing around the words, that feeling is, you know, pretty strong or something. When I started listening to my inner self, automatically expression started flowing. Until the time I was not listening to my inner self, I was not listening to others also. What's inside shows outside also, you know, your outer circumstances, they are the reflection of your inner world. So I was not listening to me. I was always in a hurry to speak my communication to the other person. And what he says was zero in my head. And it was showing my inner world. I was not listening to my inner self. I was just speaking my mind to my body, my hand, my life. And the moment I started listening to my inner self, my communication, my expression started getting better, better and better. So it's something flowing from inside to the outer world.
Yeah.
Hope I am able to convey, you know, what I want to bring out.
Well, but that's a really nice explanation here. I love it how you share that. You know, not listening to your inner self can be shown on the outside that you do not really listen to the person you're already sharing what's on your mind. what's in your mind, basically, not what's inside you. So you don't really wait for the other person to be done because you already know what you're going to say. Because
wow, thanks, you got it. Yes,
right.
That's what
you don't really know what's inside you because you're already expressing. Of course, once in a while, you get this blimp of different ideas, and then you probably might start to say, okay, is this an intuitive? As I was sharing just before, we had to cut out a bit of distraction. Is the not being able to listen to yourself inside. You sometimes get these intuitive thoughts or feelings to do something, to say something, but you might not be really aware of them because you're not really normally listening to your inner self. So this is interesting, right? So learning to be present, like Eckhart Tolle is very strong on that, being the observer, observing and be present and try to listen to the other person will make you more present. And by being more present, you have actually the space to heal the other person, but of course also yourself. I'm getting bars or whatever it's called, bars treatment. It's like holding on the head certain points. And I feel it's kind of like a hypnosis for me because I took 2 hypnotic treatments, but it's too expensive. I cannot really afford it. And this treatment I can. So I feel like really going down. And the one which gives me the bars, he says, for him, it's also kind of really good to be present. It's also kind of a meditative state to be now, right? So being present in presence of you now and other people is the right thing to do, not being with the thoughts in the future and the past. But it also means when you're alone, don't think of the next meeting you have. Don't think of what you did.
Be
there with you.
Yes.
So that's what I get from what you shared. Be there with you. Can be meditative, can be drawing. I mean, let's see. I've gotten connections with people which are doing art therapy, right? And that's also being in the moment. Instead of journaling or tapping or anything else, you use creative expression in the way of visual expression. So, but self-expression for you is you're able to do that when you're able to be with yourself. And how does it express itself? How does it show itself, this self-expression? How do you know you're really self-expressing?
Oliver, I think I have shared it with you in the past. I used to stammer at one point of time. I used to stammer, I couldn't speak. And stammer is basically, lots of fear. Lots of fear inside my head, lots of judgment. And at the same time, a pressure onto me to speak, to prove that I don't stammer. That is fear of stammering. And it was real bad, real bad. So I allowed that version of me, that stammerer inside me, I allowed it. I showed respect to it. I welcomed it. I listened to it. And slowly, slowly, like the moment I started listening to my inner self, I started honoring my inner self. So like I am talking to you right now and I am listening to you because I honor you, for what you do. And I honor my inner self. It is visible in my communication right here, right now with you. Like you are so present to this communication. I am so present to this communication. It shows, wow, I honor my inner self. And I guess that's how we are able to flow into this communication. We are so powerfully present in this moment. It is an amazing example of, that expression, that awareness about that expression. So that awareness about this expression, one of the ways before this expression, I used to waste my time listening to people whom I'm not liking. I used to speak for the heck of speaking. I used to speak for flaunting. Oh my God, I can also speak. I can also speak fluently and all that. More of show up onto the outer world, being an imposter. But now those talks, those communications, those slots in my 24 hours are cut down to barely not even 1 in months. So it shows it shows I'm moving from that fakeism or from that shallow communication or from that lack of expression to flow of expression or to expression from deep within, you know. Hope I'm able to answer that.
No, but so you shared how you express yourself in your communication, right? And how that has changed, and it's beautiful. It's very good. I was flipping a bit back to a few questions which I was jotting down yesterday. I wanted to go to bed at 10, and it was at 11 again, better than the last
day.
And I started to write some things which just came through me. And now listening to what you shared, I think they could be, they are good questions. I mean, some of them you answered already. What did you learn about yourself through this depression? What was the strength that was born through your journey of your depression? I mean, we didn't go deep, but you told me in the talk we had 10 days ago that your depression was already there from childhood, the fear from your father.
Anxiety, yes.
Anxiety, which came to depression. Yes. But what strength was born through this path? What did you learn about yourself?
So I learned about myself, Oliver. Empathy was very strongly present inside me. Empathy. And empathy is something which is seen as curse or as weakness in society. You know, it is seen as burden or something like that. And the kind of environment I was born into, empathy is like an evil, like a curse. So I was born with empathy. And because of that, I went through a cycle, cycle of suppression, depression, anxiety, anxiousness, because I was not aware that this empathy, because of which I'm being pulled down, I'm being put down by the society, I am being told to change myself, was my superpower. You know, people in today's world, when I'm connecting to someone, that person is hauling out of his ego. But Oliver, I don't see his hauling out. I don't see his anger. I see the pain that person is going through. I feel that. And believe you me, my dear, in that communication, had there been someone else, he would have thrashed, beaten around, murdered. But I move out, making that person a friend, doing my job, accomplishing with what I have gone into that situation. And it's a win-win situation, Just by ignoring that anger and that pain that person is going through, I am able to see it because I have very strong element of empathy. Earlier, my strength was the weakness as told by the world. The moment I start learning, befriending my inner self, I know, oh my God, Rohit, this is not statue of Lord Buddha made of mud. It is statue of Lord Buddha made of pure gold. Mm-hmm. What the hell? Whole world has been looking for it and you have the whole treasure.
Yeah.
So I discovered, Oliver, kindness inside me, empathy inside me, helpfulness inside me. Oh my God. These are the things, which people are not able to garner and develop inside them. And I do have them in me so strongly. I just need to learn to use them. That's it. Right place, right time, right way, and for the best and the highest of everyone around.
Wow. Yeah, I can see it. So yeah, circle around your weakness, right? And while you were talking, I came back to the, we decided on the title as you have it on the back of your head. So for the YouTubers, they can see the title of the show, Your Biggest Fear Carries Your Greatest Growth. Yes. So yes. Your biggest fear was what?
My biggest fear was fear itself, My biggest fear was fear itself, Oliver. And today, the way you are asking about expression, even in expression, to express myself authentically, there is vulnerability inside that. There is fear factor. But when I befriend it, I am able to, you know, flow with the communication. I'm able to flow with my expression. When I befriend my biggest fear, the fear itself, you know, I was having fear of fear because I was having anxiety since from my childhood in fact, I think since from my mother's womb, because my mother has been very, very anxious. So this fear of fear now has become my strength, you know. I used to be scared, you know why, Oliver? Because I was able to see the pain of the other person. And I don't want to go through that pain, through that plight. And because of fear, I used to avoid that situation only. Oh my God. So there was so much of information was flowing into my system. I was too sensitive. And you know, so much of system is flowing into me. The day I learned to channel this information and use it to live, to help humanity. Just imagine how it's going to transform, you know, the things around it. So earlier I was sensitive. I was scared of this fear, and this fear was coming from, you know, these sensations from my surroundings because I was extra sensitive. Today I'm sensitive, but I'm channeling this fear, this vulnerability into my power. I'm aware. This information is being used by me in my communications. You know, in helping people who are going through stress, depression, okay, in making people feel better who are you know, being burdened by self-loathing, self-criticism, self-hatred. I'm able to feel that their pain, and I'm able to tell them, no, I was there someday, and there's nothing wrong in that. So it has become my power today, for sure.
Yeah. So. We're just going around all these different questions I jotted down. So the inner intuition must have been very good yesterday evening, because you just said you were very sensitive, too sensitive.
Yes.
What I've read is like your sensitivity came because of this anxiousness you had since you were born, because your mom already has been that anxious. So you had this fear and anxiety, and you were afraid something will happen to you, right? There was this fear, yes. Something will happen. You said your father wants to be, you had the fear your father will beat you up if you don't work out in the winter because you're going to be lazy and fat. And I can see I do the same crap with my kids sometimes. I'm like, Jesus, what are you doing, Oliver?
Yeah.
You put fear into your kids. Why? Yes. And then it's like the question I learned is like, what would a loving, compassionate person do in this situation, right? So this is, whenever I can stop myself, I think of that thought. But your high sensitivity was because of the anxiety. And as soon as you got the fear of fear under control by listening to yourself, by tapping, by using what you learned from the books and all the other things and apply them, did your sensitivity go down? Could you feel it with the anxiety that you were not so sensitive anymore? Oversensitive?
So, I got a question, Oliver. So, my sensitivity is not coming from anxiety. In fact, anxiety is coming from the sensitivity. So basically, I am an empath. And I am very, very sensitive to the energy around me. Okay? And there was no one in my atmosphere, in my circumstances at that time in my childhood who was very close to me. So this sensitivity make me scared, and because of that the anxiety comes in. Okay, now anxiety, it might not be anxiety, it might be powers from my childhood that I am aware about my sensitivity and I am using it for the best and the highest. But the anxiety I have learned, I think, from my mother somewhere, or the circumstances in my childhood days. Mm-hmm. So today, what has changed? You know, Oliver, you know, what are our avoidance techniques? The information come to us, but we make ourselves blind to it. We cut it down. We put a screen. We don't see the negativity of us because we have suppressed it inside. You know, I am doing something wrong, but I am not able to see the wrong element in that deed because I have had multiple, my mind has created multiple avoidance techniques. Multiple lies, multiple strategies are there. Okay, ego plans. But the moment I allow myself to be sensitive, to be open to information coming to me in the organic manner, and I learn to handle that, that sensitivity becomes your power. So when I started doing my work on myself in my earlier days, and I have this slight awareness coming to me, I become more sensitive. Those problems which were not visible to me 1 year back now are visible to me because I am aware about things inside. Okay, like what you were saying, expression. I was scared of expressing myself. I was stammering 8 years back, but today I don't have stammer in my awareness also.
Not at all.
So what I mean to say, yeah. So what I mean to say is, this sensitivity is a good thing, but instead of being scared of it, I learned to channel it.
Yeah, I can see in your answer, probably this two-sided sword. I was just thinking of,
yes.
Very true. I don't know if it was a podcast or a YouTube or whatever, or something I read, like ADHD, OCD, and all these things, right? It's kind of like an expression of oversensitivity, because you stimulate it. And in today's world, as you said, many, many things are not accepted. Being an empath is not accepted. So I had the feeling, okay, if you, in your way, what I understood is like your sensitivity, your empathy scared you. And by that, you kind of probably overreacted to your sensitivity.
Yes. Overreaction.
Right? You talk too much. Like you said, you were talking all the time, not listening. So you talk too much. Typical ADHD, right? ADHD people are just talking and talking, never listening. Probably had problems focusing because it was hard to be in the moment and absorb.
Very much.
Right? So you had perhaps the ADHD symptoms because you were an empath, you were sensitive, but no one taught you how to channel and use the sensitivity for something good. So then you become, what I mean, probably oversensitive, because now you're thrown around by sensations.
Yes. I'm drained of my energies, you know. Those overreactions were draining me with of my energies. My body was not having energy to heal me, to recover me, you know. That levels of stress, which might be healthier, were able to take me down. Because I was so much oversensitive. I was so much being pulled into so many directions. And, you know, Oliver, in India, people don't know, you know, what is anxiety, what is depression. When I had my first panic attack in 2016 or so, my doctor said, like, I was having vomiting, I was throwing out, I have had 2 or 3 coffees and I vomited out, I am having severe pain and all that. It was all symptoms of panic attack. And my doctor says, nothing has happened to you. Then after that, I just went and took rest. And I read about anxiety somewhere through someone. And I say, oh my God, I'm having anxiety attacks. I'm having panic attacks. I was not even aware. So somewhere awareness of a problem helps you in addressing it. You know, people are into depression, anxiety. They don't even know it. They are treating the symptoms as if it's some other disease. And they are delaying the mechanism of healing themselves. So somewhere that awareness, like these communications, like we are having this depression to expression, these are going to help amazingly to many people. You know, like if they connect with my symptoms or with your stories or with other podcast stories, that's going to help them in finding out, okay, this is this thing. I should address it now.
Yeah. Wow, that's deep. Yes, anxiety attacks. We didn't share that before. So how long did you have anxiety attacks? Was that the reason why you started reading Louise Hay or...
So anxiety attacks or panic attacks started showing up after I started doing my journey with EFT. You know, those inner layers started showing itself. You know, it was at the deeper, at the not at the shallow end. It was somewhere deeper inside. So layer after layer, things started moving out, started clearing, processes continuously going. And now I feel I'm able to, you know, welcome this pain because of stress coming into my body. I can talk to it. I can communicate that it is being taken care of. It needs not to be worried. I don't react to it. And I pamper myself. I love myself. I give myself massage. I give myself, you know, a good shower, hot water shower. I give myself good vacations. So whenever I feel stressed, I know now. I pamper myself. I care myself, you know, like I speak to myself. Okay, my dear, you are feeling stressed. Don't worry. I'm there with you. I'm going to take care of you. Anything gonna happen bad, I take the whole responsibility. So I make my mind, my ego free of the burden of keeping me right, keeping me alive. Yeah. So somewhere it is also a way of loving and caring yourself, pampering yourself, you know, being compassionate and being accepting to your own self, to your own things.
Yeah, that's wow. Awesome. So basically EFT allowed you to remove a few layers of suppression because you were not able to actually have these panic attacks. And it's like what people say, before it gets better, it gets worse, right? So you started having this EFT and say, now I'm starting to understand. Oh, there's this pain coming from my mom's womb. There's this pain coming because my father pushed me to work out because otherwise I'm an unhealthy, sick, whatever person in his eyes. And suddenly these panic attacks come and they're like, shit, man, I thought I'm on the way to heal, but look at them now.
Yes.
That must have been really a shock for you. Or was it liberating?
It was a little pain and it was like, you know, oh my God, I'm working on myself and things are getting bad. What the hell is happening? What? But you know what was happening, Oliver? I was becoming more aware of my inner self. So those things which were unnoticed till now were revealing itself. And it was making me more jittery. But the moment I did more work, allowed them to show up more things came. And it was very scary, very scary. Oh my God, I'm working to heal myself. And here it's complete pool of things is coming on to me. But that's what empowerment is. You know, with power comes the responsibility. Now you are more aware. You got to handle yourself with responsibility. Till now you were irresponsible. You were reactive. But now you got to be responsible. You got to be proactive. You got to do some work. It's not going to be a shortcut now. You want to pamper yourself. You know, when you want to stress out, you want to take rest. You want to care for yourself. So it's all, you know, beautiful ways how life teaches you. Yeah. So more sensitivity, more awareness means more pain. And it's not repercussion. It's simply your level has increased. Your level, your vibrations has been increased. And from these vibrations, these symptoms that are showing up, you're not able to carry them any further in this energy. You cannot carry them any further. They were at the lower vibrations, but you are here now. And at this vibration, these things will be visible to you. Fear of speaking will be visible to you. Fear of rejection will be visible to you. This visible, visible, visible. And you will be scared. But no, you learn to befriend all of them. And then you further go up. Then different things which were invisible here, they will be visible here. Again, befriend all that is visible here. So that's all about our journey, you know?
Wow. I mean, yeah, I don't know how many things I can take out of this podcast. This is so deep. What I remember, I mean, you know, yeah, I mean, with power comes responsibility, Spider-Man. But I that's what comes to mind. But you also, in the talk we had to get to, you know, the connection talk to find out, you know, who am I? Who are you? Is there some kind of energy which we can, you know, feed off? You also mentioned when you had these different diseases showing up, especially the, how is it called? The
vitiligo. Vitiligo. Yeah, white patches on the white patches. Autoimmune disease. Yes.
That you were like, yes, look at that. Thank you. And your friends were like, what is wrong with you? Right. So you were happy for getting the signs from your body.
Yes. You know, Oliver, I was so fed up, you know, with my self-sabotage that I was doing, because what world has taught me to hate my inner self. I was into a pool of self-sabotage, self-hatred, self-criticism, self-complaint, self-judgment. You know, I am at a rank of senior manager and I will compare myself to the, you know, a labor. Oh my God, he's good. He's better than me in this thing. That was the level of my self-esteem. And it was bad. It was bad. And then, you know, like the moment you start realizing, okay, this is this. I'm working on all these things. Things are shifting. And I need, you know, I need a signal from universe that yes, things are moving. And then this vitiligo showed up. And I searched in Google, spiritual meaning of vitiligo. And it says conflict. Conflict between old and new, something like that. And I was like, intuitively, I was like, woo! It means the older version of me is feeling the heat and newer version of me is declaring arrival. Oh my God, wow. And my friend was not able to believe. You are laughing, you are having autoimmune disease. But Oliver, I was aware. This disease is not my enemy. You know, it is just showing up, you know, about the layers being peeled off. Okay. And I was able to heal that. Still, I have got few patches. It is still, I'm taking medications. I'm working on it. And it's getting better and better.
Because of we embrace conflicts now.
Yes.
Nah, definitely, I'm surprised I don't have that disease, because I'm definitely avoiding conflicts at all costs, which is not healthy. It's not healthy because I'm not taking these conflicts with people which really need to be put to place, because they're overstepping many, many rules, especially mine. They get into my space where I say, you know, compassion is okay, but I need to push also back and show them, hey, this is not okay. And when I'm not doing that, I let it out on myself or my kids. And that's so wrong.
Oh my God. Too young. Oh my God.
They don't deserve that.
Oh my God.
It's the people which are not aware of themselves coming to me and trying to manipulate me and whatever. And I'm so friendly to them. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Sorry for the language. It's my podcast, but start to conflict with them. These people, if they don't want to talk to you or don't want to be your customers or whatever they want to be, it's okay, because they are not aware of themselves. And I avoid the conflict of putting things right. In for me, right, there's not a universal truth or universal right. There's my world, my experience, and there's certain rights in that experience. And compassionate love, I do understand. As you say, and that's also very good. Now it just comes back, because I had a little note there. When you said you go out to that person which is really aggressive, it's honking the horn on the street, or it's shouting at you, or whatever, and you go to that person, you see the pain. It's not always possible for me, but many times I just see that person, I see the pain, or I see, like, what is going on in that person? How can I help that person? And but of course, sometimes I'm just like, whoa, shit, man. Like, you know, like the monkey comes up, the gorilla, like, whoa, and, you know, attack, right? I'm attack. But that's why you need to use the compassion and the understanding that there's something wrong there. But still, I feel like I want to push back and say, hey, now my boundaries, which are flexible, right, are stepped over. And here, you know, like the conflict. But don't go conflict like this, right? Not like frontal. So, use compassion and love and understanding.
Yes.
Still.
You know, Oliver, in that situation, if he's a stranger, you know how I deal with it? I accept that person's condition where he is. His vibrations are very low, you know. And then I bless him. Oh God, oh universe, please help him. Please help him. And you know, Oliver, how do I have this compassion for that person? Because I have been compassionate to myself. What you have for inside, that's visible outside. And it will come with practice. So once you are compassionate to your shortfalls, to your faults, you gonna, and whenever I fall down, you know, I don't curse myself. I bless myself. Rohit, I love you, my dear. And I bless you. You know, you need my blessings. I have never blessed you, Rohit, but today I am blessing you. So that same thing comes to me in this situation. You know, when I am seeing this person and I see his pain, I accept and I bless him. God, please help him. Yeah. So whenever I fall down, you know, whenever I fall down, okay, I just speak to myself. Okay, Rohit, I am there with you, my dear. And I bless you. I have never blessed you. I have always cursed you. But now I am blessing you. I am there with you. It's okay. It's okay. So when I practice this with myself, Oliver, what is inside is outside. Very easily, it will start showing up in your circumstances outside. So if I am getting triggered by that person, it means it is a call for me to work on myself. That trigger is showing up with a purpose into my life. That is again a way of, you know, increasing your awareness. Again, a tool to work upon yourself.
Perfect. Yes, I think we made a big round from depression to expression, anxiety, stress, self-love, self-acceptance, EFT, different books. As you said, you started with
anxiety.
And any tips you have for people that listen to, like in a nutshell, from all what we heard, which have the feeling something is wrong, they might be on the way to depression, they are in depression, they feel like this cloak, this heavy hanging metal, whatever cloak that keeps you from expressing yourself and wanting to meet people, right? Or just partying so you feel good, but you're just doing it because...
for the heck of it. Yeah.
What kind of tip would you have for these people?
Wow, Oliver, such a beautiful question. And the moment you started with this question, only one thing which is flowing into me is, you know, guys, don't fight it all alone. Reach out for help. When I was broken, I was shattered. Had I not reached out for those sessions of tapping EFT, I would not have been here. And this stress and depression, it's so much of a mindy thing. It will not allow you to crack the code. Reach out. Just reach out. Talk about it. You know, ask for help. Speak it out. That will shift so much of chaos, so much of pain filled inside. That will shift a lot.
Yeah. Thank you. That's a really good tip. Anything I forgot to ask you, which is on your mind, on your heart, to share?
I think you have covered so many beautiful questions. I don't remember. Like, we have covered so much in last 2 hours.
Yeah.
It has been fun. Yeah.
I mean, we can always take a second take or when you're going further on your path. And
sure.
But if people are inspired by what you shared, people want to learn from you, apply certain things, how can they reach out?
So I am already running a Telegram channel, you know, Master Your Fears. It's available on Telegram. Or they can email me on my email ID. I will share my email ID with you.
Okay. That will be in the show notes.
Yeah.
Beautiful. With that, I don't know what to say. Yeah. Conquer your fears. Not conquer your fears. Accept your fears. Embrace your
fears. Master your fears. Befriend your fears. You know, celebrate with them. You know, dance with them. Allow them to be in your life. You know, ride them. You know, like we do windsurfing. We ride the waves. That's scary thing. But here we are riding our fears.
Yeah. So you grow and you find yourself in it. I mean, I can see the energy coming from through this video. I mean, the smile on your face, in your eyes, is just so... I mean, my headache is gone completely. I do not feel any tension on my upper... upper back and my neck. It disappeared during the podcast. And the story you shared is it's very valuable. So thank you so much. Rohit, namaste. And for all the listeners,
thank you so much.
Please reach out. And if you have any questions, you can also send them to me and we might ask through another episode. With that, have a great day to the listeners and love yourself.
Thank you so much.